Once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Keep going. Hello and welcome to Insight, and Jack Stogler is here, but I wanted to jump in before we get with our guest, Commissioner Greg Homan, that we want to thank all of our listeners and our sponsors and everybody for being so patient while we've been off the air until this morning, 5 days, starting last Thursday. And I know everybody's been pretty patient with us and understanding, and we really appreciate that. And I really, really appreciate what Chuck Rohr did to you know, pretty much night and day, figuring, loading, fixing stuff, just to try to get us back on the air. And we are back on the air. We have a couple of still glitches, but for the most part, we are. As far as our listeners will be able to tell, we are back on the air as usual. And, of course, we will be having our live sports baseball games this spring. So just wanted to throw that in. So go ahead, Jack.
I can't hear you, Neil. Are you sure we're on the air?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. And you can hear me.
Okay. Yes, I can. So welcome, everybody, to Insight. And it is great to be back on the air. Thank you, Chuck Rohr. Thank you, Neil, for the past 5 days. I know you guys worked your butts off to make that happen.
I stood back and stayed out of Chuck's way. There's not much I can do to help him.
That's a wise man.
Yes, it is.
That's a wise man. Yes.
Same thing I do for your Christmas show. Stay out of the way. Had nothing to do with it. Just go ahead.
And I tell you what, as you mentioned the Christmas show, I want to take a minute to just thank Mayor Dave Kalp for recognizing the gala committee. When I stood up there and talked, I didn't do a very good job. I got a little bit emotional, and I do that once in a while.
That doesn't mean you didn't do a good job, Jack. Means you did a great job.
But I tell you what, to receive an award for something that you have such a good time doing.
Yes.
And then to receive the award, on the same day or the day after, you just had the honor to drop one of those checks off, So you get the benefit or the blessing to be able to give other people's money. And, it's just awfully nice to be recognized. But, man, to be in the shoes where you get to pass that money out is just absolutely humbling. So, yep. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay, well, we're out of time. Time for sports talk. And yeah, no time to talk to our guests. Let's go ahead.
So now, we have in studio current Mercer County Commissioner, Mr. Greg Homan. Hello, Greg.
It's good to be here.
Welcome aboard.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So I tell you what, the role of the county commissioner in New Mercer County is a tremendously critical one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about you're finishing up your eighth year,
mm-hmm.
And why did you decide to run in the first place back in 2012 or 2014? I guess it was.
Well, I first started serving as Mercer County Commissioner back in 2016. 2016 would be my first year when we firstly got started. My passion for community service started many years ago growing up. Grew up on a dairy farm just south of Coldwater. My parents are Marge and Jerry Homan, a large family. And while I was growing up, I saw community service being role modeled for my parents. I watched my mom and dad volunteering through church, through KSCs, through their school board, so that that commitment to service was kind of in the blood, you know. Yep. A lot of times when my mom and dad were doing their service to the community, we were right alongside, you know, if that was picking sweet corn for the Right to Life, or if that was dragging in groceries that my mom was preparing for shut-in meals. It was a variety of things that we were doing. We saw that natural, and it was just part of our lifestyle, like many others around here in the community, where it's ingrained for us to be passionate about our community and believe in community service. So watching that growing up and being active in a lot of activities growing up kind of instilled that passion. So I think that was instilled in me, and I have a lot of energy and enthusiasm for Mercer County. My family's been a part of this county for many generations, and my brothers and sisters, most of us live right around here, are successfully raising their families and finding their opportunities in Mercer County. So I had a passion of wanting to give back and to take a leadership role. And at first, first got involved when former Commissioner John Bruns retired, and so there was an open seat, and pursued running for the position, and I've enjoyed that service ever since.
Fantastic. So you had said that you were raised on a dairy farm on the south side of Coldwater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're still a resident of Coldwater, right?
Yep, still live in Coldwater with my wife, Lori. We've been married for 22 years. We have 7 children. Our oldest is 21 and studying nursing, and it's interesting to watch her have the same kind of passion to service. I bring her along as the rest of my children to get involved. My youngest is 7, so we've got a wide range of children, and hopefully we're instilling that same work ethic, that same passion and love for Mercer County that we have in that next generation as well.
So did you go to college after high school?
Yep. Graduated from Coldwater back in 1993. And then after that went to Ohio State. I've got my bachelor's degree was in animal science in the College of Agriculture, and then finished off a master's and even a PhD in community development. So enjoyed the education and opportunities that were offered to me at Ohio State, and hopefully I'm bringing those tools that I learned from Ohio State back to serve the residents here of Mercer County.
Fantastic. And you said you're one of how many children?
I've got 8 brothers and sisters that are still around that, and 7 of the 8 of my brothers and sisters live right around here in Mercer, Dark, and Shelby County area. So the whole family's found their success and their opportunities right here.
Well, if you just get your family to vote for you, you know, you got at least 25% of the vote there.
I guess so, yep. That would help, huh?
So, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about why you chose to run for commissioner back mm-hmm. then.
Okay.
And why do you want to put up with the headaches again?
Okay.
So, we'll be back right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a 4-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
Do you want to work somewhere that is more than a workplace? Look no further than Cooper Farms, where their competitive pay and suburb workforce will make you feel like a part of the family from day one. Cooper Farms has locations in Van Wert, Paulding, and Mercer counties, and positions are open for all work styles. Whether you need a full-time job with competitive pay and excellent benefits, or a flexible part-time position that allows you to set your own hours, Cooper Farms is the place for you to pursue your next career. Go to CooperFarmsJobs.com to join us today and find a new job. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. It has been said time and time again, you get what you pay for. In the case of Simplicity Lawn and Garden Tractors, you get even more. Exclusive features like free-floating mower decks for a perfectly manicured cut, full-width rollers for a beautifully striped lawn, suspension comfort system for a smooth ride, and automatic control traction for the best traction system in industry. So do you want to settle for getting what you pay for or getting more? Visit K&L Tractor Sales to see the exclusive features of a Simplicity.
Don't miss the first Brick Street Market coming up on Saturday, April 9th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in downtown Fort Recovery, hosted by Cy Iodazai. There will be a variety of vendors offering all kinds of items, from baked goods to handmade craft items and more. Food will be available from local food trucks and our local restaurants. Stroll the Brick Street and shop with local vendors and our local merchants. A Kids Corner will also feature our local youth vendors selling baked goods, arts, crafts, and more. Mark your calendars now for the Cy Iodazai's Brick Street Market, Saturday, April 9th on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
The Fort Recovery Cy Iodazai's Community Garage Sales will be held April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Registration for the garage sales is open until Saturday, March 26th. Registration forms are available from any Cy Iodazai member or go to our Facebook page, Fort Recovery Community Garage Sale, and download the form to your computer. Registration fees are used for advertising. All proceeds are used for community projects and improvements. Again, Fort Recovery Community Garage Sales will be April 21st through the 23rd.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, County Commissioner Greg Holman, talking about the upcoming election. And Greg, so when you think back 7 or 8 years ago, when you ran for the first time, mm-hmm. what made you decide to run for county commissioner?
Well, like I said before, I think that passion for service and getting involved in the community at first was instilled in me through my parents, watching that role modeled and having a passion for service. And I've always been very engaged in the political process and in county government. And so when the retirement happened, you know, I looked around and I thought, you know, I hopefully have the skills and the abilities and the leadership to offer, you know, my neighbors and friends and relatives throughout the county. So I stepped forward to run and serve. I have a passion for the future of Mercer County, not only my children, but everyone others, you know, their children and their grandchildren. And I want Mercer County to be a place of opportunity that, where our children and grandchildren, they can find their world of work. They can find a great place to raise a family. They can find quality entertainment and a good quality of life. So I wanted to provide that for that next generation. You know, I talked a bit before about, you know, pursuing my education, and one of my research areas that I spent a lot of time studying was community development and the area being youth retention. How do we keep young people in rural communities? And I don't know if most people are aware of it, but, you know, across the United States, most rural counties are really struggling retaining population.
Yeah.
You know, and particularly counties that are not near a major metropolitan area. And if you look all across the United States, rural counties really struggle. And Mercer County is an outlier in a positive way, meaning that our population in the last 10 years grew by over 4%. And that was one of the fastest growing small counties in the state of Ohio. You know, we're not next to a major metropolitan area. Yeah. So we've got some unique things to be proud of. A lot of good things are happening here in Mercer County. You know, a lot of that is from strong families, a good business climate, you know, and building a culture that supports young people wanting to live.
Great schools.
Correct. Churches, a variety of components, you know. And in that research, I've surveyed hundreds of young people throughout this community over the last 10 to 15 years. And I actually survey high school graduating seniors and I ask them, what do you think about your home community? Will you want to come back here and live and work? You know, are your parents encouraging you to come here? Do you see enough economic opportunity? And it's surprising when you compare responses from young people from Mercer County to some other areas in the state of Ohio, how much more positive it is. You know, we've got a lot to be proud of. And I think that's one of my driving forces. I really want to listen to the next generation and try to position Mercer County to continue to grow. Because once you lose that momentum and encouragement for young people to come here, it's hard to rebuild that. You know, so once a community kind of loses that that enthusiasm, and once parents no longer encourage their children to stick around, you can't change that culture overnight. So I think we need to keep building on that positive momentum and that strength in our community to keep our young people here, to keep us thriving and keep the county growing and solid.
I also think, you talked about the youth, wanting to come back here. Mm-hmm. I also think that's something that's instilled in them by their parents, mm-hmm. that, the parents feel blessed, mm-hmm. to be able to raise their family in this type of setting. Mm-hmm. And there's so many kids, we'll call them, that go off to college and they stay at Columbus, mm-hmm. or Cincinnati or whatever from the time they're 18 until they're about 26. Mm-hmm. And then when it's time to raise a kid, sure. they want to do it the way mom and dad did.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I think it's that appreciation, and I talked to you about how I surveyed these high school seniors. I asked them a lot of questions. I've been doing this for 10, 15 years, and I'll ask them questions like, is this a safe place to live? Is this a place where you want to raise a family? Do you feel like there's enough economic opportunity here? Do you see growth? I asked them all these questions. I even asked them, do your mother and your father encourage you to want to live and work and raise your families here? So, and not only do I survey Mercer County young people, but I survey young people in other schools, in other areas of Ohio. And the responses are highest out of Mercer County.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable to see, because when you first think about high school seniors, you think they're going to have a get out of Dodge mentality. Yep. That they're going to finish their high school year and they're going to think, oh, everything else is better than this place, or they're going to really look down on our community negatively. But that's not the case. It was refreshing and surprisingly positive that these high school seniors were saying, this is a safe place to live. I do see growth here. I do appreciate my community. So even if they're going away for 2, 4, 5, 6 years for an education, a lot of them have that interest in coming back here because they appreciate the positives that are here. So that research has been real valuable to me, and I'm using that in my work as county commissioner as well.
And you talked about the trends in the other rural communities, mm-hmm. Counties, and it isn't just the rural communities in Indiana and Iowa and stuff. I mean, it is the counties that are close to us. Mm-hmm. Van Wert County, Paulding County are seeing drastic drops.
Sure.
In the number of young people that are deciding to stick around there.
And not to talk negatively against neighboring counties. I know they're doing their best. I just think we have a lot to be proud of and be thankful for here. We're seeing neighboring counties trying to emulate some of the positive things here and trying to build a positive culture. Van Wert's initiating a welcome home type program to try to rebrand and encourage their young people to come back. That is a factor. Another positive factor that we have here in Mercer County is we tend to have larger family size. We have a culture that encourages and foster and understands larger families. You go to some other communities, a family like mine with 7 children, would be ridiculed or I'd be strange, but it's normal and it's okay, here in Mercer County to have 7. It's not like that everywhere.
I don't know if it's normal.
Well, okay.
Okay. But it's okay.
It's not as surprising. How's that?
That's right. It's normal around here.
You don't have to explain as much. How's that?
Right. And sometimes if you have 6, that's an only.
Yeah, sure.
You'll only have 6? Pick it up.
Yeah.
Pick it up a little bit.
So we kind of have a... it's a religion and family base that also contributes to this closeness, a family that we have here in the community as well.
So, you talked about a little bit about your interviewing kids and stuff. So mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about what you do for a living.
Sure.
Okay, because I think that's kind of tied
sure,
into that.
Sure, yep.
So You know, what's your occupation?
Okay, well, like I said before, I was a county extension agent after I got out of college back in 1996. And I drove up and worked in Van Wert County as a county 4-H agent. So I'm passionate about young people and got to work with the 4-H program for over 11 years, working with volunteers and community leaders focused on 4-H. And then after that, took a position as a professor out at the Lake Campus, primarily working in leadership and management courses. I started an agriculture program out at the Lake Campus. So we've seen a lot of growth, and I've enjoyed working with that next generation. Like I said, through 4-H, watching that next generation, but now working with college students and watching them finish a degree. You know, if they're right out of high school or they're working adults, finishing off a degree, and watching them use their skills and to use their degrees here locally through the Lake Campus and find a position and to grow professionally, so that's been rewarding as well. My work out of the college,
and you know, what a great way to stay in touch with such a vital part of the future of Mercer County.
Sure. So it's been exciting to see kind of that enthusiasm of young people that are finding their educational opportunities right here in our backyard that Wright State Lake Campus offers. You know, and directly, you know, we're working primarily with young people that want to stay and live and work here. You know, a lot of them are working full time or engaged in local businesses, and so that's been an enjoyable part of life as well to see them grow and succeed and build the skills they need to help local business and community survive.
So as like we look into you going into your third term as a county commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
What couple of items do you look at as kind of the unfinished business type stuff?
Sure.
Things you want to see get to the next level before you decide that mm-hmm. you know, you'll let the next guy
sure.
do it.
Well, I think a couple of things that we've been concentrating on quite a bit here lately, and a lot of people have noticed the work with economic development. You know, Mercer County has the largest revolving loan fund opportunity here in the state of Ohio, and those are funds that are used for small businesses to sustain, to expand, and to continue operations. Right now, there's almost $4 million loaned out to small businesses to enable job growth and creation. So as commissioners, we're supporting that excellent work, our economic development.
Did you say that's the largest
revolving loan fund
in the state?
Mm-hmm. Yep, largest revolving loan fund, yeah. So
we're probably in the bottom 15 counties as far as population.
You bet, yeah. So a lot of that effort and is given to Jared and those in the economic mm-hmm. development office. They started early in that process. Mm-hmm. So
and that probably also means they're loaning that money to people that are successful so they can pay it back so their money's back in there.
Because
I'm sure other places have had as much money and they're loaning them to people that aren't able to get it paid back. That's amazing.
Sure.
We've been number one in a lot of things. That was that wouldn't have been one of the things I'd have thought of.
And on top of that, economic development, obviously you're aware that, you know, we have that excellent tool of Hometown Opportunity that is not only highlighting local jobs, but economic opportunity for that next generation. Right now there's over 900 jobs posted there for a 4-county region.
Wow.
Mercer, Dark, Shelby, and Auglaize. So a lot of jobs out there, a lot of opportunity. I've also put some effort in the past several years on water quality. You're seeing a lot of improvements, and a lot of that effort can be attributed to the creation of the establishment of the position of Teresa Dirksen. We funded a new position for Agriculture and Natural Resources Director with Teresa, and she's brought in millions of dollars in grants that are used for water treatment efforts and working with producers and water quality efforts related to the lake. Here recently, we've been looking at making some technology upgrades through county services. So, you know, the overtime Society changes and technology needs to be upgraded. So that's something we're continually working on. We have issues right now in terms of infrastructure and office space demands. You know, how do you upkeep some of these old buildings? And as new offices and staffing needs present themselves, and how do you juggle and move things around? So we're in the middle of a kind of a strategic plan in terms of where our offices are located and our building space utilization. So that's a major effort that we're working on right now. I think long term, we as a community need to keep working on quality of life. You know, that next generation really is looking for some of those extra things.
Sure.
You need to be on a job. You know, if that's going to be parks and recs and trails, you know, and some of those community functions that the next generation, when they go away to college and they're looking where they want to live and work and raise a family, you know, we're competing against other areas.
Yeah.
So that's something we're looking at now in terms of how do we position Mercer County in terms of some of those quality of life factors beyond just economic development. You know, what can we do to work on those factors that kind of take some time? So those are things we're looking at. We've been real diligent in trying to be, you know, fiscally conservative and trying to protect budgets and keep tax obligations low and trying to continue to work with excellent staff within our county services to provide good services to the residents. You know, what we do as county commissioners is obligated or prescribed to a certain degree by Ohio Revised Code. You know, I can come here and promise the world in terms of lots of things that a commissioner can do, but that may not always be realistic. You know, the Ohio Revised Code constrains or provides a map or a direction in terms of what a county commissioner can do in terms of function. You know, we're also limited by tax dollars. You know, we don't have an endless supply of dollars, so we have to utilize the dollars wisely and try to make the best investments we possibly can. We can't cover every need, every wish, every want that's out there. You know, we try to keep that tax base low. So we try to be realistic as well in terms of how we position the county, how we spend dollars, and what obligations and role the county has to play. I hope that makes sense.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back to talk a little bit more about your current role as a county commissioner and how that prepares you and hinders you as you seek that next term. Okay. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Here at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer, we want you to put the very best into your machine so you can get the very best out of your machine. Choose to use CNH Industrial Genuine Parts. Only CNH Industrial Genuine Parts are specifically engineered to fit and function perfectly with your Case IH equipment. They deliver the performance your business demands while giving you the durability your schedule depends on. So when you want to maximize your performance, go with the original, CNH Industrial Genuine Parts. To find CNH Industrial Genuine Parts, visit Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery.
Miracle Lanes has two great specials for you every Friday during Lent. For only $9, you can get your choice of an order of popcorn shrimp or six pollock wings, and each will come with fries and slaw. Call ahead at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. Popcorn shrimp dinner or six pollock wings dinner, each with fries and slaw for $9. And they'll have fish and shrimp on their Friday lunch buffet every Friday during Lent. Miracle Lanes, 375-4274. Boy Scout Troop 99 will be hosting their annual pancake and sausage breakfast on Sunday, April 10th, from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Fort Recovery American Legion. The breakfast includes all the pancakes, sausage, and scrambled eggs you can eat, along with coffee, milk, and juice. Children 5 and under can eat for free. Tickets can be purchased from any Boy Scout or at the door. Thank you for your continued support of the Scouting Program. Don't miss the Scouts' annual Pancake and Sausage Breakfast on Palm Sunday, April 10th at the Legion.
The Fort Recovery High School Scholastic Bowl is hosting a community trivia night on Friday, April 22nd at the Commons at the high school. Doors open at 6 with a trivia competition starting at 6:30. Members of the public are invited to participate, and you can have 2 to 6 players on each team, and the cost is $40 per team, and there will be prizes for the top teams. Your team can be family members, coworkers, friends, a group of students, anybody you want to grab to help make your team better. For questions or to get your entry form, just email weigelm@fortrecoveryschools.org. The public is invited to come at no charge, and there will be a 50-50 drawing, and snacks will be available. Be sure to get entered now for the community trivia night coming up on Friday, April 22nd at the High School Commons. Doors open at 6. Entry forms available by emailing weigelm@fortrecoveryschools.org. Proceeds will be used for scholarships for high school seniors.
Just let me know when it's time. We're back.
It wouldn't be Insight without you doing
it. Wouldn't, I know.
It just wouldn't.
We're back. Insight with County Commissioner Greg Homan. And Greg is running for his third term. I'll bet you're glad that the election date has now been set and you can proceed accordingly.
Sure. It's nice to have some certainty. A little bit frustrating that we do have a split primary and how all that politically is playing out in Columbus and so forth. But glad you know, we're moving forward and getting at least part of this election done.
So, you know, you mentioned the politics of the state and stuff. So has being a county commissioner been what you thought it was going to be when you first ran?
I think I've definitely enjoyed the service. I've learned a great deal. I've enjoyed seeing the dedication of our county employees and the excellent services that the Mercer County has to offer. And it's been a real valuable experience being out to engage in the community and trying to contribute my skills as best I see fit to help move Mercer County forward. You know, I like to maintain those traditions that we have in Mercer County, yet position us for future. I've been really blessed, you know, to be able to have that opportunity. So it's been a real good experience. There's always been some eye-opening kind of experiences, so to speak.
Sure.
I guess a couple things come to mind in terms of maybe surprises. And the first one is water drainage issues. You know, those are increasingly more and more prevalent issues in the county. You know, as water drainage, you know, we have development and water drainage issues. Those are increasingly a bigger and bigger part of our role as county commission. And another one are the very serious needs in terms of young people. You know, we have some very serious cases of young people that are going through children's services, you know, and those, you know, we sign off on those contracts, those placements for these young people if they can't find a local foster care family or their needs are so severe in terms of needing specialized treatment, you know, for a major abuse. And those really kind of open my eyes even more, you know. I have a family of 7 children, love my children, so that
it's kind of hard to believe that something like that happens.
Sure.
And it's really hard to believe it would happen around here.
Yeah,
so I think for a long time we kind of had that mentality where that doesn't happen here because it's not as obvious as it is other places. But that those types of things do happen, and it does take sometimes physical, but definitely a mental toll. Mm-hmm. That a lot of times it's, you know, you grow up and you outgrow it, and it, you just kind of forget it. And other times it completely controls everything that you do in your life. And it's a sad situation. I don't have an answer, but I think whatever kind of help we can give them, that's extremely important.
You know, you know, it's really visible and positive seeing these great services that we offer for economic development and business growth and that sort of function, but kind of the unseen behind the scenes efforts that happen at the county. And this is one example for those children's services that are provided, you know, something that maybe not a lot of the public really hears about, you know, because those are private issues. And, you know, we have to sign off on those contracts. So we really hear some of the stories and the situations that are there, you know, and those are serious. So, you know, government isn't just all about business development. It's also about protecting and providing for, you know, for those that are disadvantaged, and those are young people and elderly, et cetera. So those services are really valuable.
Sure. So you mentioned a couple of the organizations or departments that the commissioners are in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, without breaking it down into a whole lot of, you know, detail. So as like you look at the scope of the umbrella that falls under you,
mm-hmm.
What all gets included in that?
Okay. Well, I guess there's a couple of different ways of looking at it, and one of those might even be just budgetary. You know, we as county commissioners oversee a county budget of almost $75 million, but about 14 to 15 million of that are what we call the county general fund. So that large portion of that budget is flow-through dollars. That's from grants and gas taxes, projects for roads and bridges. You know, those are things that we don't really control the itemized expenses on. We oversee, sign off, and make sure the budgetary processes are followed. But we, as commissioners, allocate between $14 and $15 million annually. And those, about half of that goes to two major areas, and one of those is corrections, the sheriff's department, and 911 dispatch, and then we also have the court system, and the courts being juvenile court, the common pleas court, and probation. So that's about half of that general fund, you know, in terms of tax dollars that support services here. So then beyond that, we allocate dollars that provide for the other services. And like I said before, if that's children's services, if that's veteran services, sanitary, economic development, you know, all those other services that you might find in the courthouse, from auditor, recorder, treasurer. So some of those we directly oversight, and some of those are overseen by other elected officials. So a variety of services.
Do you deal with anything as far as the Board of Elections with theirs?
What?
And follow up is, sure, with us going to have two ridiculous,
yep,
you know, preliminary,
yep,
primary elections. Is that there's obviously some noticeable extra cost in that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just hard to deal with, or budget busting?
Well, when you talk about the Board of Elections, that's one office that we fund, but it's not one that we provide day-to-day operations for. They're overseen by two Democrats and two Republicans that serve on their board. So mm-hmm. It's a bipartisan board that oversees them. They're tightly constrained or tightly directed by the state of Ohio in terms mm-hmm. of how elections are run, and most of their decisions and processes are very laid out by the state of Ohio. So, you know, our process is essentially to approve the budgetary needs that they need, mm-hmm. In terms of their staff and buildings and so forth. And, you know, part of that election process is reimbursed, you know, from the state to conduct elections. So that's one of those offices that's, I don't want to say semi-autonomous, so to speak, because they have a board, you know. So
sure,
they're run a little uniquely, you know.
So the second primary isn't going to kill county budgets around the state or anything, or mm-hmm. it'll hurt, I'm sure.
You know, that's still yet to kind of be determined in terms of how the state will reallocate dollars for this election. So we're still learning that. In fact, I just saw an interesting development in the state of Ohio, where some legislators wanted to I don't want to say punish, so to speak, but to expect those dollars to be reimbursed by the Supreme Court. I don't know if you saw that development. So who knows how some of this really is all going to kind of play out. So
unfortunately, it's not
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're kind of a lot of times we have to react and adjust, and as county commission, in terms of what the state of Ohio does, to a certain degree, we're an arm of the state government, and we have to react to what Ohio Revised Code or what state government requires us to do. I guess the best analogy is almost like bumper pads when you're going bowling with children. We have some leeway in there, but Ohio Revised Code and state government really kind of sets the path, so to speak, in terms of what we can and can't do in terms of county government. We're more of an administrative type body than a legislative body. A lot of times we'll have people say, why doesn't the county legislate this or require that? Or, we can only do certain legislative or things that we've given the authority to do. And in a lot of realms, that's pretty limited. Yeah. But that's just how our state constitution is set up.
In my thoughts, that's probably how it should be. Because if you get into some of the bigger areas where people don't know each other, you can get some scoundrels in there that could be doing things to help their buddies here and to skim some money there. Sure. Around here, everybody knows that's not going to happen because everybody knows everybody and you know what's going on. But you're looking at me, Jack.
Well, I think it's probably time for a break, isn't
it? Okay. Yep.
Okay. So we're going to take another break. We'll come back and... I'm going to ask Greg, what's his platform? What does he stand for?
Ooh, another teaser. You're good at that, Jack.
So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Spring is here, and that means grilling season is in full swing, and Wayne Street Market again has the best and lowest priced steaks anywhere around. Ribeyes are $9.99 a pound, and T-bones and New York strips are just $7.99 a pound. And don't forget the pork chops, burgers, brats, and hot dogs. They have everything you need for grilling season. Stop by and stock up so you're ready for grilling season at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. Here are the baseball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Indians will host Delta St. John's in the first MAC baseball game of the season. Friday, we'll host the Houston Wildcats. On Saturday, our Indians will travel to Ansonia for a single game starting at 11 a.m. Get out and support our Indians this season, but if you just can't make it to all the games in person, you can listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight.
When I point at you, Jack, you're supposed to
talk. That's when I start talking. Okay.
Yes.
So we're here with Mr. Greg Holman, the Mercer County Commissioner, and he's also a candidate running for his third term. So as the incumbent, is that a blessing or a hindrance?
Well, I think it has a little bit of both, I so to speak. You're busy with the practicality of doing the job as county commissioner, doing our best to balance the needs of the community, keeping budgets under constraint, and doing that role as county commissioner. So I think that has its blessings and its challenges, but again, it's immensely rewarding, and hopefully people are evaluating what's happening here in Mercer County and seeing our tremendous success, and you know, progress that we're continuing to make in the county, and hopefully they're trusting the leadership that's happening, and hopefully want to keep that momentum going, and will consider giving me another term.
And are you the only one running?
Correct.
So there's one open seat.
Yes, sir. The way they have it structured, there's three elected county commissioners. So two are elected on the year of the 2 years ago. Jerry and Rick are still serving on their terms that were elected 2 years ago. Then mine is the term that I'm here. It's 2 years later, and that's designed so there wouldn't be a complete turnover at any one election. So there's some balance there provided. So I'm the only commission seat that's up for election this year.
So as like we go into this election cycle, what does Greg Holman stand for?
Sure. Well. Hopefully, the record and what has been happening here in the county will show that I'm a fiscal conservative trying to be a wise steward of tax dollars. And I believe in efficient and effective county government. I believe strongly in our strong communities and strong families. I'm a man of a strong Christian faith, active in my Catholic church, and that guides me in terms of my decision-making as county commission. Generally, I can make big, bold statements on general issues. I'm strongly pro-life and strongly Second Amendment. Those don't come to play too often as county commission. We're generally more of an administrative body, but again, those are strong principles. I believe in limited government and personal freedoms. I didn't believe during all this shutdown, a lot of the restrictions that were put on small business and requirements put on individuals and families. I think a lot of those should be choices left up to individuals.
You were pretty pretty voiceful about that, I think, on social media and stuff. You weren't afraid to say what you think.
Maybe letter to the editor too, if I remember right, or was it mostly social media?
Social media. I believe very strongly that individuals should have choices, and I think government overstepped in terms of the restrictions put on a lot of our businesses and families, and I don't believe that's the right role of government to put those restrictions on individuals. I don't think anyone should be forced to take a vaccine if they don't wish to do so. I didn't believe in some of the shutdowns in our small businesses. Through a lot of that process, I had a lot of individuals contacting me and saying, "Greg, we need a voice. We're very concerned. We're very scared." We had small businesses that were shut down. We would have small mom and pop stores that couldn't even open their businesses while large operations were up and running. I had a lot of businesses reaching out to me and saying, "Hey, Greg, we need help." And like I said before, I don't have a legislative body. So all I could offer for these people was a voice for them. They would call and just the tears and on their eyes, and people that would knock on my door and come to my front door and plead, how concerned they were for their businesses to stay afloat. Those really grabbed my attention and had to do what I could to try to speak up for individuals.
So what else does Greg Holman stand for?
Sure.
I kind of interrupted you.
Sure, no problem. I feel very strongly about positioning the county for that next generation, like I said before, my research. So any decisions that we make, how can we make the best decisions to position Mercer County to continue to thrive? Is that the making those right investments, listening to that next generation. I told you before how I listen to graduating seniors and try to keep a pulse on what they think, and that guides me in my decision making processes as county commission. Where do we make the right investments? I believe in small business and industry here in Mercer County. I believe in strong families, and that guides my decisions. That I make as county commissioner.
Very good. So as you wrap up your second term, mm-hmm. and and I think that I asked this before. So, you know, when like we talk about the unfinished business piece of it, mm-hmm. is it you mainly jobs driven, or you know, what do you consider your focus that sure. you'd love to get sure. done?
Sure, I think I want to continue that balance of balancing strong economic development opportunity and making this the best place to live, work, and raise a family. I've got seven children, like I said before. You know, and I watched myself. I knew when I was growing up that I would have opportunity here. And I want my children to have that same confidence that they're going to have economic opportunity, that this is the place they want to raise their children. So I want to make sure that tradition continues, and I want Mercer County to remain competitive, you know, comparatively, you know, as a choice to live, work, and raise a family. So I'm real passionate about that and want to contribute what I have to help make those decisions for the future.
So as you go through this process mm-hmm. of running for county commissioner for the third time,
sure.
What's the most grueling part of the whole thing?
Well, I think it's just tough trying to push yourself out there. You know, we're not raised to want to pat ourselves on the back to promote ourselves. That is incredibly uncomfortable. You know, we're not raised to want to do that, to put a sign with your name on the yard or to try to say, I've done this or I've done that, you know, and a lot of our role as county commissioner, we're providing some leadership to a whole army of quality people in the county. So I don't want to be taking credit for the work of others. And, you know, so that whole process is a little rough, so to speak. Yeah. You know, that self-promotion kind of thing that you know, you feel like has to happen in that political process, you know, so that gets a little rough in the process, to be honest. But I enjoy the opportunity of meeting fabulous people throughout the county, having those conversations and sharing my enthusiasm, you know, and motivation for the future of Mercer County. So we just keep plodding forward.
And you walk in a boatload of parades.
You bet. Yep. Do everything we can. Try to buy best as possible, or as much as we can, to get out to every event that we can here in the community. If that's a fish fry or a church supper or you name it, we try to get there.
Or the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce banquet.
You bet. Yep. Try to get out and.
It's great to see you there.
Engaged as much as we possibly can. You know, there's great things happening all throughout Mercer County, from community events to businesses that are expanding, you know, to just a lot of things to be proud of in Mercer County. So it's great to support that and be engaged in that process.
So as like you look at winding down mm-hmm. your eighth year.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you to do exactly what you said you hate to do.
Sure.
Okay. But as you get to the eighth year, what are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? I think I'm most proud of positioning the county for continued excellence. And that takes a team effort. But I think we've set some momentum and continued some momentum and laid the groundwork to continue Mercer County to grow. And like through my research, I've seen that in other counties, when you lose that momentum and you don't have that good strategic planning happening, it takes quite a bit to get that re-going again. So I'm real happy and proud of the work that many are doing, and I'm glad to have a part to play in that progress and the positioning Mercer County.
And what's the boogeyman in the closet as far as what's that one thing out there that you makes you worry if this is sustainable or not?
Well, you're always worried in terms of county government with budgets, you know, budgetary concerns. You just never know. You know, our economy has been strong for so long. You know, we have such a great economy going on right now. You know, and I'm worried, you know, what's happening at the national level and internationally in terms of trade and deficits and inflation. You know, how is that going to trickle down, you know, and constrain us here in Mercer County? So we're worried. But, you know, you still try to make the best investments. We try to protect our budgets long term, you know, try to make the right investments and try to be wise and wise stewards. But when you ask about what worries me, you know, it's the dynamic at the federal level and the constraints and the financial uncertainty. I don't want to portray a negative attitude because I'm extremely optimistic about Mercer County, but we're up against a federal and
things
national
that we don't have control of.
Yeah, that we can't control, and so we have to try to adjust and position the best we can. But that's something that again keeps me worried a bit. So yes,
yeah, and it's a little bit comforting to know that, you know, when the crap hits the fan at other places, it we tend to be able to not be quite as affected as the rest of.
Yeah. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. Just this evening, I went to the grocery store, and I was there to buy some groceries for my family. And I got to the section where there were chicken breasts, and there was none there. And a sign that said, limited to two per family. You know, and growing up, and for many years, none of us had this issue or, you know, concern about food supply. You know, and that really hits you cold when you go to the grocery store and some staples aren't there. You know, and but then you also, like you said, that appreciation that we have it a little different here. You know, we're closer to that food supply. You know, I'm not as concerned, you know, maybe somebody in an urban area is, because I have backup and I have family and friends and we have agriculture production right in our backyard, that I think we can find the food supply. But that it's just an eerie feeling when you go to that store and you find sections of the grocery store and those products aren't there. And that really grabs your attention, you know.
Well, I'll get you turkey till it comes out of your ears.
And eggs. There's plenty of eggs.
All right.
Plenty
of eggs.
I got some boys that are big into weightlifting, so that protein would help. I'm dragging protein home right and left.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, we'll take one more quick break, and we'll come back to wrap things up with Greg and give him one more chance to kind of share what you're about and kind of plead your case here come May 3rd. We'll be back.
And we can also talk with Mr. Rocker Bond Villain about his this day in pop culture history. Is that it, Rocker?
Yes.
Is that right? All right. Back in just a minute.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
If you are like me, then finding a job that fits your timeline is vital for you to be able to work at all. Cooper Farms lets me set my own schedule so that I can work when I have the time to. No one should have to choose between their family and their career. Thanks to Cooper Farms, you don't have to. With locations Van Wert, Paulding, Mercer County, and beyond, Cooper Farms has the flexibility and competitive pay I needed to work without sacrificing time with my family. Visit CooperFarmsJobs.com to find your new job today. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Are you in the process of buying, starting, or selling a business, or maybe just trying to get more bang for your buck out of your current operation? Well, those are things I'm here to help with. I have 26 years of experience as a banker, CFO, and business owner. I've helped clients in all industries in areas such as financing, budgeting, staffing, and other areas like succession planning and project management. One of the biggest challenges I had as an entrepreneur was finding someone experienced to confide, share ideas, ask questions, and ultimately put the best plan together in a truly confidential way. These are things I valued and now want to pay forward for your operation. Come see me today for a financial plan and wellness review. It's nice to have someone on your side, because as a business owner, I know it's never easy out there, and especially now. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, today at 419-852-4049, and have yourself a great day.
The speaker series at our museum is back for another season. On Sunday afternoon, April 10th, they'll welcome author Bob Cook II, who will talk about his book, Blood and Honor, The Life and Times of Fur Trader Pierre-Louis de Lorimore. This talk will be held at the Nazarene Family Center instead of our museum, so that more people can attend and it's handicapped accessible. Don't miss the first in this season's speaker series on Sunday, April 10th at 3 p.m. at the Nazarene Family Center.
We're back. Insight. Jack Rocker, Neil, talking to Greg Holman, Mercer County Commissioner. Greg, it has been a quick hour. Mm-hmm. We've covered an awful lot of stuff. You know, we're blessed in the county to have excellent guys in the commissioner seats. I think we also have, you know, great guys that want to run too, you know, and that makes for like a win-win. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about what Greg stands for, why you're running, and what you'd like to see people do on May 3rd.
Sure. Well, hopefully, like I've explained here in the last hour, I've explained more about the great things that are happening here in Mercer County. My enthusiasm and background of continued community service. Hopefully, I've laid out my vision for positioning Mercer County for success, and that's listening to that next generation and making wise investments. Hopefully, I have a track record of proven conservative leadership as a county commission. You know, serving Mercer County residents, standing up when necessary, and making the right decisions with budgets and positioning the county for the future. Now, I've enjoyed my service for the last two terms. More unfinished business to keep working on, and to keep following through with a framework that's been set out. So I'm excited about the opportunity to continue to serve Mercer County residents and bring that passion and experience and proven leadership to the residents.
Fantastic. Well, you've done a fantastic job. Last week we had
Dave Buescher
on. You know, Dave's a nice guy, and sure. I wish Dave the best last week. Mm-hmm. I'll do the same with you. It's comforting to know that we've got guys like you and Dave that are running for key spots like
sure.
this.
Sure, so. Appreciate the opportunity and the dialogue. Love talking about the county. Love talking about county services, and love talking about the future of Mercer County. So, enjoyed this opportunity and have enjoyed speaking.
Now, part of your punishment for coming on the radio station is you have to listen to Rockers. Let's see, what's this called, Rocker?
Pop culture.
Pop on this day.
Yes, it's not
history.
Really punishment.
Yeah. Well,
from your point of view, maybe not. But yeah. Well, we like it because we get to make fun of everything you say. But, okay. So. And you're welcome to hang around and make snide comments like we will.
I think he's too nice to do that.
Well, that's right.
You're probably right. We'll see. If not, we'll make up for it.
I'm sure you will.
Pretty sure we will.
On this day in pop culture, history is 1792. That's going way back.
1792?
I was young then.
The first video by President Washington.
Ooh.
The first video?
Veto.
Oh, veto.
And it starts already.
I'm thinking George Washington's doing videos back in 1792.
Quick sketch.
It's time to go to the home.
Yeah. Okay, the first veto. What did he veto? Something to do with Port Recovery.
No, that was the first. That was the first congressional investigation.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry.
1887, Anne Sullivan teaches Helen Keller the word water.
That was probably the first word she learned, I guess.
Yes.
Yep. That's very awesome. Good.
I'll try to move through these fast because we got an actual show.
I couldn't hear you. Jack was sign language in front of
1987. Fox new fall TV lineup is announced.
Oh, that's probably their first year of broadcasting for Fox, right?
Which we gave us Married with Children, Simpsons, the Tracy Ullman Show, and 21 Jump Street.
Really?
That was a big one.
So, did they wear jumpsuits on Jump Street?
So the Simpsons have been on since that time.
Well, they started about 2 years later. But they were part of the Tracy Ullman Show.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'll be hog switched. I didn't know that.
So April 6th, today, 1947, the first Tony Awards were held.
Oh.
And named after who?
Tony Danza.
I don't think so.
Oh.
Randall. Tony Randall is the answer.
I don't think that's correct at all, John.
I find that hard to believe.
I don't think that's correct at all.
Well, that's the only Tony I could think of.
Well, it's probably an acronym for something, but I don't know.
1992, the first designated Sorry Charlie Day.
No, wait, start over with Charlie. That one.
Well, oh. I'm on time. I don't know where you're at.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Sorry Charlie Day for people who have been rejected in life.
Sorry Charlie was
the tuna kiss
tuna.
Yeah.
So sorry Charlie.
Oh, sorry Charlie.
Celebrity birthdays.
Birthdays.
Oh good, we're going back to the
Tuesday, yes.
Fifth, okay.
Very good. Thanks for following along. Pharrell Williams turns 49 today or yesterday.
Happy.
Yes. If we had the time, we'd actually play the song.
He didn't look anywhere near that old.
April 6th.
Looks like he's 30.
Billy D. Williams, the old malt liquor guy, turns 85.
Billy D. Williams, didn't he have a son that was more famous than him, or am I thinking of a different guy?
You're thinking of Pharrell Williams.
Never mind.
Cliff Clavin, John Ratzenberger, turns 75.
All right.
No, nothing.
None.
Norm.
Close. You're close.
That's the other guy. He's a
well, but Cliff's one of the ones that says it.
Okay. You just talked about Taxi before. Mary Lou Henner turns 70 today.
That's hard to believe. Shoot.
Looks like $1 million. So. Yeah. Some people age well, some not so much.
Why are you looking at me like that?
let me just ask you, is Mary Lou Henner the one that has
redhead.
The photographic memory?
Redhead.
Yes.
Okay, I was thinking that.
She is brilliant. I mean, she's like...
She remembers everything.
Yep.
Everything, kind of word for word.
Paul Rudd turns 53.
We went through chit-chatting. Okay, go ahead.
We've got a show coming up.
Oh yeah,
this is Masters Week.
Scrubs. Yep. Zach Braff turns 47.
Who did? I was talking to Mr. Holman to see he had to go talk to Bubba.
Scrubs. Zach Braff turns 47.
Jack Spratt.
Jack Spratt could eat no fat.
Okay.
Wife could eat no lean.
Candace Cameron Bure turns 46.
Who? Cameron Diaz?
Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh.
Bure.
46.
Never heard of her.
Full House.
Oh, okay.
Very, very good, Jack.
Hallmark movies, Wide Open.
Yes, a lot of those.
She is one of my favorites.
And former quarterback Tim Hasselbeck turns 44.
Very good.
He's a journeyman if I ever saw one.
I was gonna say I've sort of heard of his name, but I have no idea anything about him.
And that's all I got.
That's all we got. We also have in the studio, Greg, why don't you introduce these two?
I've got my wife of 22 years, Lori, and my second youngest, Palin Homan. So they're here. They were in town here for a little bit, and so they stopped by as well.
And your daughter is cute as a button, which means she looks exactly like her mom.
Yes.
Yeah, she does. Good thing she resembles mom.
Your dad did a really good job.
And you'll be able to hear it in the archives in a couple of hours. It'll be in the archives forever, and about half an hour after sports talk is over, it'll be in the archives.
Greg, great. I really want to thank you for coming. Great. You were fabulous.
Great. Well, thank you.
So for Insight, Jack Neil Rocker, Mr. Greg Holman, come back next week. I think we have...
Well, we don't have anybody...
Some more exciting guests.
Well, it'll probably be... We have several people that are kind of working out things between the Board of Elections, needs to come in and explain things. We also have Matt Fox and Donna Post for judge. That we are going to talk to, and it could possibly be Jeff Gray talking about his upcoming levy, and it could also be Jason Menchofer about his upcoming levy with the Board of Health. All of those we hope to have on by the by Election Day.
So we don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, but it will basically. We will have a show, and it will be another one of our
award-winning. Yes.
Well, I don't know if we've won if Insight's won an award.
Just go with it.
Here, you and Bubba are award winners because you were the mayor. Thought you were awesome.
There you go.
Yep.
So, stay tuned for.
Masters
Week Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee and Kirby right after this. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the 4th.